Hey, everybody. Welcome back to My Wave Podcast. Hope you're enjoying these episodes as they come out each Tuesday. Super excited today to have Phil DeAngelis with us. We'll get to his My Wave story in just a minute. But I do want to give a big thanks to Billy here at Copilot Studios. He's doing an awesome job. You can follow him on Instagram at Copilot Studio. Secondly, I'd like to give a shout out to the sponsor for this episode, and that is Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag is a mobile event where they bring the fun to you. It's played like dodgeball, but with arrows. Phil, have you ever played Archery Tag?
No.
Dude, you have to play Archery Tag. It is amazing.
It sounds like it should be in my repertoire.
Yes, yeah, so you can check them out at sullysarcherytag.com. Sullysarcherytag.com. Lastly, you ever bought anybody a cup of coffee, Phil?
Yes.
So you ever bought anybody a virtual coffee?
No.
No. So you can check out buymeacoffee.com/mywave, and you can support this podcast by buying me a cup of coffee, appreciating what you hear, whatever. It's $5 a cup. You can buy me multiple cups, give me jitters, but check it out. buymeacoffee.com/mywave.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah. So Phil, I've never met you, man.
I know. How did we miss each other? It's really funny.
It is. We share probably share the same piece of concrete down at Riceville Beach. Parking is expensive there. It's getting ridiculous. Sorry, yeah. I'm not going to rant.
No. Yeah, you're entitled to, though.
I am. I am entitled, but I will resist. But we have some mutual friend
that
actually connected us today. He was supposed to be on here. His name's TJ.
And
He canceled on me, so I was like, hey, since you canceled on me, you had to find me somebody. And so he sent our contacts, and we finally connected, and nice to meet you, man.
Nice to formally meet you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to jump in to your wave, your story, your life.
Absolutely.
Because that's what this podcast is all about. So
that's flattering.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I never thought. I was like, I'm just a loving surfing guy, and then holy crap, I get to talk about surfing.
There you go.
Like on a podcast.
So what wave? Well, let's back up. When did you start surfing?
High school. I'm a landlocked born creature outside Philadelphia.
Okay, so you're born in outside of Philly.
Born outside of Philly, grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
I've been to Lancaster.
Amish country, right?
Yes, it is.
And I never fit in. I played all the sports and stuff. I even went to like a boarding school and did the preppy world there and played sports, played college lacrosse. Yeah. And, but in high school I had friends that lived on the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
And they were surfing. And yeah. I grew up going to Amelia Island, Fernandina Beach, Florida.
Okay.
And I just was like, I'm swimming, I was body surfing, I was doing all these things. And my friends were like, you could do surfing. I was like, why am I not surfing?
Yeah.
Like, that was the like thought in my brain. Like,
how old were you then?
I was about 16.
Okay.
And I committed. I grabbed my buddy Ben, who doesn't really surf to this day, but we're like, we're renting boards and we're surfing and we're figuring this out. And we just, you know, every wave, like all day, 8 hours a day, like the endless energy that you have as like a 16-year-old.
Right.
And by the end of that, I caught these waves that just like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then I kind of just did that shortboard thing.
Uh-huh.
On weekends to the Jersey Shore. I had a friend that lived in Ocean City.
Okay.
Longport area. And so I was just like, I had this like local St. Augustine local shaper there, Driftwood Surfboards, I think it was called. 6'3", like thruster.
Uh-huh.
And then I was just like going out to Jersey Shore, just hacking away at waves. And then I got like a Canyon, one of those pop outs, those twin fin fishes.
Okay.
That Canyon started bumping out and I was stoked. I'm like, I got this fish. I'm going to go so fast. And then I went a little faster. I did.
Right.
And I just had those all the way through college.
Okay.
And I went to school in upstate New York at Skidmore College and played lacrosse there.
All right.
And studied business and geology.
Gotcha.
Got a job in Boston.
Uh-huh.
Realized I was close to the ocean.
Right.
Got stoked. And then I met through mutual friends. He had a beach house in Hampton, New Hampshire.
Huh.
So The water's always cold.
Yeah.
The warmest it got was about 68 degrees.
Goodness.
And people were trunking it then.
No, thank you.
Lineup was full of French Canadians.
Yeah.
So people were speaking French everywhere. You're like, where am I? There's like...
No kidding.
Yeah. So...
Yeah. I started cutting my teeth in Ocean City, Maryland.
Oh, right on.
And then spent a lot of time in the Outer Banks as a teenager.
Gotcha.
We'd spend 2 weeks on vacation every year out there. But most of my surfing growing up was Delaware beaches in Ocean City, Maryland.
So, oh man. Yeah. So yeah, my boss, he's actually from Lewis, Delaware.
Okay.
And he and his brother who both I work with, both my managers, they know that beach up and down.
Yeah. And experience cold water.
Yes.
What's the coldest you ever surfed up there?
38. It was a 5-4-3. So like three in my little armpits. And you had to paddle out.
Yeah.
The waves are awesome. And you're like, there's no way I'm not going to paddle out. And you just walk through the foot of snow onto the sand, walk through the sand. It's just like two extra layers of stuff you got to walk through. Like sometimes, you know, people will shove their board in the sand. We just do it with the ice and the snow, just shove it in there.
No, thank you.
You have like that ultra cold wax that's like soft if you touch it, you know?
Wow. That's crazy. So part of this podcast is to educate.
Got you.
And so you said 5-4-3.
Gotcha. Yes.
So some people are going, I may not be good at math, but what in the heck is a 5-4-3?
No, yeah, I skipped over that. So the thickness of the wetsuit itself.
Yeah.
And that's not to include all the different ways you can patch together a wetsuit with like not just woven seams and glued seams with patches on those seams as well to hold in temperature. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But 5 in the core, 4 in the extremities, and then around the joints, they actually made it a little thinner so you could paddle a little better.
Right.
3.
For the flexibility.
Exactly.
And whatnot. Wow. 5-4-3. I have a 4.5, 3.5. That is amazing.
That should be toasty. Yeah.
That's super amazing for around here. I mean, what do we get? Maybe a dip into the 40s on a cold, cold winter.
Maybe. And I've really gotten weak since I've lived here.
Yeah.
Like my blood is thinned out for sure. And I don't miss it at all.
Yeah. I bet you get ragged on when you're...
I get ragged on. If I ever went up there, oh my gosh. Like, if my friends are going to hear this. They live out in, like, in California. They are in the same boat. They're always in their 3-2s.
Right.
But there were times when we were, like, we got the heat blasting. You hold in your pee because you're going to want to use it.
Right.
And you're like, all right, let's do this. There's a lull coming up.
Yeah.
Fortunately, New Hampshire has a lot of reef breaks.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So there's channels and things.
Okay.
Beach breaks were tough though.
Yeah.
With the duck dives.
Oh, I bet. I remember as a kid or high school student, I had a spring suit underneath my full suit with booties and gloves. And I had this, the only hood I had was like a 2 mil hood. And I remember duck diving some of those, you know, low 40 days in Ocean City and just coming up.
Okay.
And just.
It just was pulsing.
You want to throw up.
Your head is pulsing. Yeah, exactly. You want to, in like the third one, you just want to give up. And then you just know you're almost there. I can't imagine with the spring suit because you're probably like paddling with like straight arms.
Yeah. And then the rash that you're getting underneath, it's just miserable.
Oh.
So wetsuit technology has come a long way.
I just got this O'Neill Hyper Freak that's like. I paddled out, I guess that huge swell back in March that came through, surf C Street there. And I could have had like read a magazine, like floated.
Right.
Like it was just the coziest thing ever.
Yeah. I've got the O'Neill Mutant Legend.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'd spent a little coin on it, but I am not.
Isn't it worth it? It's always worth it.
It is like... worth it. So where are we? So grew up surfing, colder water.
Oh, here it comes. So I got a longboard.
You were living in Boston now.
Yeah. I was living in Boston. Uh-huh. I worked for this company called Zipcar. They do car sharing. And before that, I actually did some environmental work. And I was a weekend warrior.
Mm-hmm.
There was a spot called Nahant, which is this little peninsula. And I could get there before work.
Hmm.
So I would do the days there was swell. It's a fickle spot, but if I knew it was breaking,
because
I had to read all the buoys because it didn't have its own little break. Now it does.
Okay.
And then I'd be like, oh, it's going off. All right. Get up at 5. We'll do this. 20 minutes there, like hour and 15 back into the city because of the traffic.
Oh, goodness.
And I would score some fun waves before work and I'd shower at the office. But the big inflection point was moving to Boston, having a friend in New Hampshire and getting a longboard.
Okay.
Now I longboard almost... not exclusively when it's firing, I'll shortboard.
Right.
But yeah, I got a 9.5 Robert August Retro Series.
That's what you ride now.
No, what I ride now.
That was what you bought there.
That's what led me into the wave, if you will.
Okay. Okay. So currently though, you ride.
I ride a 9.8 Bing Continental.
Okay.
And it's cheating at nose riding. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It has a lot of the classic aspects of that I like in like a log. Mm-hmm. So 50-50 rails. Mm-hmm. Concave nose that transitions into a belly because I like to go off the belly and I keep a nice pivot fin in it, which is Flying Diamonds, like CJ Nelson fin.
Gotcha. So pausing right there, like I've always been a shortboarder.
Yeah.
But I bought a long, I got a long board. Oh man. I'm trying to think when Mark and Lindsay got married. I was doing a wedding.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get me a gift for officiating their wedding. And I was like, well, that's cool. You know, gift card to Dick's or whatever. I'm cool. And they were like, no, we want you to get a custom surfboard.
Did they say custom?
Yeah.
And gosh, I was like, gosh, that's awesome.
I was like, do you even know what you're talking? They were like, yep, we've done our research. Here's your salary cap. Go find you a board.
Oh my gosh.
And so anyway, I ended up getting a 9.2 Savage. Love it. I wish I knew more before I bought it.
Like, Savage makes some good log. That Salted Sow is an awesome model.
Yeah. Yeah. So mine's more of your basic cruiser.
Nice.
But you had talked about 50-50 rails.
Yeah.
And then a pivot fin. So let's break that down a little bit.
Yes.
Describe a longboard and what do you mean by 50-50 rail?
So 50-50 rail, on a shortboard, you're not going to have that. It's almost like half the rail is coming down from the top and half is coming up from the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it's like 50-50. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I commonly say is a pair on longboards, because you talk about basic longboards, which is what I call them, and then you talk about involvement or like a more of a pig style, mm-hmm. Where you have a narrow tip and the wide point is back from center. Mm-hmm. My board does not have that. It's parallel all the way down.
Okay.
Has 50-50 rails mm-hmm. that let it just kind of like a neutral placement in the water. Mm-hmm. So when I do turns on it, I can kind of feel it more with the belly underneath. Mm-hmm. And when I say belly, I mean like the bottom has a convex feel to it.
Okay.
Rather than like a hard V or a double V within a concave you would see on shortboards.
Right.
Longboards want that hull aspect. Mm-hmm. So you can stay trimming in that one pocket of the wave.
Okay.
Which will allow you to walk up to the nose when it starts sucking down in the back there with the tail.
Right.
And allow to pivot with that belly. So using a big pivot fin to redirect the board mm-hmm. with enough surface area in the fin that you can do that with such a large board and to put it back into the pocket again where you can go up for another nose ride.
Gotcha. Y'all got that?
Was that too intense?
No, okay. No. Some people that listen to this are really learning.
Gotcha.
And so the more education we can give, the better it will be. Now that rail that you have set up, does it ever go back and get hard towards?
I do not like a hard edge for this log.
You're all the way back.
I'm soft. They call it soft rails all the way back. You know, if you ever listen to Joel Tudor or like duct tape things, he'll call out like no hard edges in the tail mm-hmm. for those nose riding events. Cause he's like, you need that retro. Cause you want the water to suck over the top of the board.
Okay.
And I'm going to get nerdy cause I'm a geologist. I'm a scientist. It's called Archimedes' principle, right?
Okay.
In physics, where you need that weight pushing back on the back of the board. I'm 195. I need to have that happening so I can stand on the nose of the board without the board flipping over.
Okay. So that's why on my 9.2, I can't go all the way to the nose without the tail. It could flipping be a up. Variety of reasons. Like say.
Concave in the front of the nose will play a role.
Okay.
It'll allow you to plane over flatter sections and get up there and create lift. Mm-hmm. That's what the concave is for, creating lift in the front. The back is for holding it down. So you see Taylor Jensen, he's a tall guy, and you'll see him on a 9.0 just hanging 5 and 10. And you're mm-hmm. like, how did he do that?
Right.
And I have a high pro board for when it's pumping and I'm on a long board. And it's just positioning of your board. Uh-huh. And if you're in that little like, people think they can nose ride on the flat front of the face of the wave, and you're not going to get it there unless you're 80 pounds. So you have to get confident, right? And you have to bring yourself back into that pocket more where you're like, wow, it's going really fast. I like this feeling. That's a good time to try to get up to the nose.
Okay. Okay. Very good. I'm being educated. I like it.
Is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good. Like I say, I've always ridden a shortboard. We just got back from Puerto Rico. I was riding a 510 Hypto Crypto down there. Oh. Love that
Is a 5'10 good size for you? Because we're like same size, I think, like height wise.
I'm about 6 foot and 165.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right.
But the Hipto had 33.5 liters at the 5'10, and it was great.
Nice. Do you score? You get swell?
Dude. Let's not go there. I don't want to make people jealous. We had 5 days of solid surf.
Nice.
Yeah. Anywhere from 5 to 6 at 11 to 7 to 9 at 11.
Wow.
And yeah, the whole week.
Gosh, that's awesome.
It was mind blowing. Yeah. But I didn't say that anybody. I didn't go there.
Say what?
Nothing. Nothing. We got lost in the log tech.
The
logness. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So let's go to this wave now. You are in.
I'm up in New Hampshire. I'm in Boston. I'm with my buddy. Shout out Mike Sidebottom. If you're watching this, you're the man, because you coached me into this first reef break, right? And it was some hurricane swell. And New England catches a lot of hurricane mm-hmm, swells. Mm-hmm. If it gets around Cape Cod, it's on. Mm. And I had been kind of weaning. It's a 9.5 Robert August Retro. Has a little edge in the tail. Mm-hmm. Not a lot. Not a lot of rocker. So it likes to, like, there's a lot of surface area for you to go fast. And he's like, hey, we've been surfing beach breaks. I'm getting comfortable doing turns, bottom turns, all these things. And I learned a lot of fundamentals on this board. So mm-hmm. I like take pride in this board.
Yeah. Still have it?
No, I sold it once I moved down here. I was trying to progress up. I was a poor grad student. And I sold it so I could start moving into different boards.
Gotcha.
But it was 2 feet overhead. It was about 8 foot on this place called Rye Rocks, if anyone surfed there.
Okay.
And it's got this awesome channel, but it's got one, maybe two takeoff spots.
Yeah.
It's straight reef, like, and it's clear and it's dark water. Yeah. You just know there's a great white shark out there.
Hanging out.
The beach up north, I've walked out. I'm like, that's a seal body with no head on it, you know? And it's just cold, treacherous water.
Yeah, I paddled out at Bolsa Chica in California. Oh. And there was this big, huge, I don't know, walrus or seal.
Sea lion thing, this
neck, just big, huge hole.
Oh, gosh.
Ripped off. And we were like, hey, look at that. Let's paddle. Anyway.
So... Yeah, so we paddle out, and I've always known this place to be like hardcore. Can be locally there because of the takeoff, so acute, and it was pumping, and it was like someone, you know, shook a carpet, you know, and you could see it coming in from way out. And it was the day I decided to charge. It was the day I decided, like, no, we're gonna paddle into this, and I don't know what clicked about it. I don't know why we decided to wear trunks in 68 degree water, but it was me and him, and he's like, you have that friend that's like, you want to do this? Let's do this. And he's great. He's a great surfer and longboarder. And I pulled in and the water was clear and I wasn't used to that because it was on a reef. And I looked down, there's just boulders.
Right.
There's boils, boulders, everything. But the wave itself was freaking awesome.
Nice. Nice.
And I didn't even take a high line. A lot of times as a longboarder, you take the high line. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. I just went to the bottom turn and slotted in. And I was just like standing up, hand dragging.
Okay, so let's rewind.
Rewind.
Cool water, 68 degrees. You're shorting it, and everybody else doing the same, or they?
No, they were wetsuits. They were shortboarders. Okay. There's some longboarders. The crowd was kind of small. I recognized some of the local guys. I couldn't tell you the name. They're just like the old hardy guy with the white mustache, you know. And you're like, this guy's here all the time. Like,
he knows this. He knows every rock.
I've been waiting. You know, you. There wasn't much of a current, so you just kind of start, everyone's taking off in the waves, you kind of like float into the lineup. I was like, ooh. And it was that day, everything turns on. Everything clicked that day to where I went from a fun surfer to like, no, I'm doing this as much as I can kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was all because of that ride.
Uh-huh.
Where I like took off, looked down the wave, saw the whole thing wall up.
Right.
Had the momentum. Use the momentum in the bottom turn. Like I can like, I'm literally like visualizing as I'm telling you this.
That's so what I want you to do. I want you to paint it for us.
And it didn't barrel, but it was steep, right?
Right.
And I was just hand dragging and it took me straight down. I could see like the wisps of the seaweed off the boulders below me. That's just kind of going. Clear. And then into like blackness where the channel started.
Okay.
And I just rode out and I just was like, had never really surfed reefs before. And I paddled back out and I was like, that was the coolest thing. like ever in surfing.
Yeah.
And he was like, you were charging. I was like, was I? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I got so comfortable. I kept kicking deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah. So that wave, how long do you think that was that she rode?
100 yards max.
Okay. So had the solid wall.
I didn't even have turns. I just locked in. That was like, because now I would tear that wave apart, you know?
Right. So, but what made that wave your most memorable was that this was a first.
It was a first feeling, that weightless drop when you're dropping in. Mm-hmm. You're like, this is big. And this is something big pushing me.
Yeah.
And all those momentous feelings that kind of draw me to surfing still.
Mm-hmm.
That are outside of that longboarding realm of windy 2 foot day.
Right.
And that feeling we get as surfers when we drop in, we're like that rush of just hitting a turn or flying, any of those feelings generated by the momentum of a wave, that was all encapsulated in that ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when you take that drop and then you're clear on that landing and you're pulling that bottom turn and then locking it in place, time stands still.
Exactly. You are ultimately present.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have been, you can't, that's, I think that's a very meditative thing in surfing,
mm-hmm.
is you have to be present when you're doing it.
Right.
Can't be thinking about anything else except surfing.
No. I mean, because if you're thinking about something else, it could be bad for you.
You're going over the falls.
Yeah. it could be bad.
Right.
But locked in the present, in that moment, time stands still. It's you and this energy.
Right.
And you're harnessing it. Like it's,
you are literally capturing a wavelength. It's a wave that's in a medium. So it's like, it's just energy that you are capturing. Exactly. Right.
Right. Right. And it's indescribable.
Yeah.
And so for those of you out there who are listening, who have never experienced that, keep surfing.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because you know, and you have friends, I have friends, you know, on their face when they get that wave, mm-hmm. that makes them feel that way. And you're like, oh, they're so in.
Yeah. And as we're talking about it, those listening are going, mm-hmm, I want that.
I want that.
I want more of that.
Right.
You know, and I mean, how often do we get that as surfers?
Not as often as you think. Or you're setting bars. Like, I'm a competitive person, which is why I've really enjoyed doing ESAs.
Okay, so you surf competitively now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Craig Newkirk got me into it.
Yeah.
We were surfing one day. He's like, I'm not going to imitate his voice, but hey, Phil, like, you surf really good. Like, you should come down to ESAs. Like, and I was like, all right. Like, I'm a little intimidated. I came out and then I realized it's one big community, mm-hmm. and it's supportive.
Yeah.
As far as progression goes, people are going to be cutthroat and surf their waves well. It's not I guess it used to be political. It's not anymore. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I had the chance, I had the opportunity to like do well with it. And I actually won in 2019, the men's longboard division.
Congrats. Yeah.
Thanks.
That's sick.
And that kind of led me into like some.
Was that at Easterns?
No, that was just at the district level.
Cool. Okay, cool.
All my regionals got canceled because of COVID.
Right.
And then Easterns, my company, I have to travel a lot for work, mm-hmm. To different dredge projects. They were like, you can't do mass events right now. You're traveling too much. No. So I couldn't do Easterns.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and
it was
the pool. Huge. It was huge. And
yeah.
Craig even told me, he's like, every Easterns is freaking overhead.
Yes.
And I was Nag's Head and I've surfed there once and that's power out there.
Nag's Head has a different feel. I mean, all the Outer Banks.
It feels like West Coast. Like it's just like a long period. Mm-hmm. Oomph. Like even the small ones are like, you feel that power.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. But that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Craig. So whenever I paddle out.
So shout out to you, Craig.
There you go, Craig. We're talking about you. And go Hurricanes. Sorry. Are you a Flyers fan?
No, I wasn't huge into hockey. And then my best friend from high school, we were roommates in Boston. He was a total Bruins fan. So it just turned me off from hockey altogether.
No, man. So yeah, Craig and I, we do share surfing and Hurricanes hockey. Canes.
Maybe
yeah.
I'll appreciate the Hurricanes then.
Yeah, they're doing great.
I need to pick a North Carolina team now they live here.
There you go.
I'm not surprisingly as alone as I thought being an Eagles fan down here in North Carolina. There's a few other transplants that support them. So I just kind of hold strong. They're like my little problem child. Like, I love you, but why do you do these things?
Yeah, but Craig, every time I paddle out, he'll see me or I'll see him. I say, what's up, Craig? And he'll go, hey, pastor.
Yeah.
That's what he calls out. And everybody's like, What's going on out here?
That sounds exactly right.
Yeah. Love the guy. He's great.
He's great.
But yeah, he's like, you should do it. It's like,
I support that. Craig, I'm trying to get him on it. Let's do it.
Can I still join? Even though it's like season's already started?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Surfsignup.com. Just get on there. Find our district.
Surfsignup.com.
Yep.
That's for the ESA.
And there's like an ESA SNC website, right, which I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
But that's the portal it takes you to set up an account through this amateur system.
Gotcha.
That goes up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So was that website? I'm going to write it down.
Surfsignup.com.
All right. So y'all out there, check it out. You might see me. I don't know. We'll see.
It's fun. I think it's got a really great community aspect,
yeah,
which my family coming down here, we didn't know anyone.
Mm.
I think my high school headmaster retired here and we had dinner with them once.
Oh, wow.
But other than that, I have an aunt and uncle that live in Beaufort, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
We used to go up there and go to Atlantic Beach and stuff. So that's when I was looking at grad schools, that's what gravitated towards here. And yeah, my wife and I just leaned into the things we like to do. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my close friends are all surfers here.
Yeah. Sweet.
And yoga people. Yeah.
And yoga people. That's cool. So, let's get back to this wave.
Yes.
You're locked in, cruising down, just this time standing still, this long line, you kick out and you've got that look.
I've got the look. I've got the feeling. I'm like shaky because it's very vivid. You're almost like taking it all in. And without even thinking twice, I'm like, I'm doing it again. And I just paddle out.
Yeah.
Take off deeper. And I had a pretty gnarly wipe out there because I just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper on a 9.5. And right. I'm like, and I pushed the limit and I bit the dust and then I popped up and I was like, I'm over top of rocks right now.
So when you say deeper, you're further down. It's a point break?
Yes.
Basically?
So I'm deeper in the pocket. It's a left. Mm-hmm. I'm goofy foot, so I like it.
Yeah.
I'm in heaven.
I'm ready.
And I remember four or five waves, but I remember the one where I was just like, hey, this is what it's about. Like, these are the waves. Like, I was used to beach break.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got way more confident.
Yeah.
After surfing reefs, because it's like you wipe out on a beach break, you're not hitting the bottom every time. Mm. So it's the same deal with anything else that's where the bottom's a little more precarious.
Yeah. So. And over rocks, over reef is precarious.
Yes.
But you learn to wipe out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's, to this day, I kind of use that self-awareness mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went body surfing on the Big Island of Hawaii and I went out with these guys for a wedding. I felt safe because the guy I was with was a Manhattan Beach lifeguard. So I was like, that was my justification. Meanwhile, we paddle out this right-hand volcanic rock break. So if you duck dive under, you can hear the chatter of these boulders. Oh, and those goodness. Are sharp.
It's yeah.
We call it a'a, which is the actual Hawaiian word for it. But it's just like it's just like a basalt that's settled and it's really sharp. And it's got limpets all over it. So we all got cut out trying to get out. But it's just one of those points where in that point of that wave, whereas like you just need to, these are all the components all coming together, mm-hmm. thinking about what you need to do when you're surfing, and it changed my life kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The rest of the day, were you pushing your progression on those waves?
That day? No, I was too encapsulated with that. And that was 2010.
Okay.
So that was a good 11 years ago.
Yeah. So, but your progression now.
My progression now is night and day different.
Yeah.
I nose ride like all the time.
Do you?
I get nice big turns on my shortboard. My shortboard's 6'10", everybody. It's kind of a mid-length. But it's got a quad setup, so I'll rip on that.
Right.
Top turns, back, like, I'm confident in a lot of things now.
Yeah. Yeah. And for people that are out there that are just getting started and they're not confident, what would you encourage them?
Treat it like any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an athlete and you're looking to get into surfing, treat it like a sport. Take a step back. Think about fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do all this like cross training for it. That's really helpful.
Right.
But wave count too. So just get out there.
Yeah.
We're on the East Coast. There isn't a lot of swell all the time. Get a longboard, even if it's a beater board, and just get out there and practice all those like pop-ups and things.
Right, right. Over and over, as I ask people that one question, the continued response is just get out there. Just get out there as often as you can. Just keep going. Just keep pushing. And I think that's important for all of us in our progression as yes. athletes, as surfers, is that continual repetition, getting yes. in there. even in different conditions. Because one of the things that's so unique about a wave is every wave is not the same.
It never will be.
Even coming off of a point break, they may be very similar, but each one is going to give you something different.
Absolutely. And think about if anybody likes to read and learn about, and they're all getting into surfing, they want to read. The Wave is a really cool book. Have you ever read it? Mm-mm. The author follows oceanographers,
okay,
boat captains, and Laird Hamilton.
Laird.
And it kind of talks about how waves behave and trying to find rogue waves, but it talks a lot of about wave mechanics too. Okay. And it's such a nuanced concept, a physics concept of a wave. Mm-hmm. And they're always going to be different no matter what. Similar, yeah. but always different.
Right, right. Yeah, I took one oceanography class at East Carolina University.
Nice.
And that was really eye-opening as far as the mechanics of a wave. I mean, we didn't talk about waves the whole time, but discussing the height and the depth and the way the water rotates and what it's doing as it's traveling across the ocean and what causes it. It's all so intriguing.
It's so cool. And you that's what the ocean is. Mm-hmm. It's always moving.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, even if it's a little, you're still moving. You're not going to just sit there and wait for a ball to come to you.
No, no.
And that makes it a very humbling experience too.
It is.
I've had days where it's terrible and I get out and I still am happy I got out there.
Absolutely. Where has surfing taken you as far as travels?
It's taken me to Hawaii. It's taken me to Costa Rica a few times, mm-hmm. California a few times. And then, because I work in the dredging industry, I get to bounce around to different dredge projects.
Okay.
And we're always throwing boards in the trucks or on the plane with us.
So you work with other surfers?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So shout out TI Coastal, all my surfer friends and bosses there. But what a great way to study the coast by going surfing.
Yeah, yeah. So you work out on the barges or what do you do?
We do a lot of the hydrographic beach surveys on our own vessels.
Okay.
So we do single and multi-beam. We do magnetometer surveys, but usually we'll survey just about a half mile offshore, mm-hmm. come in, and we look at the transition of the coastline. And then we'll take land surveys. That's my phone.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
And then we'll take land surveys out, and we'll create a 3D model of the beach, and we look for volume displacement. Mm. And we do this on a monitoring scale for the towns of Topsail Beach,
okay,
and Figure Eight, where we look at year over year gains and losses, accretions and erosion.
Okay.
But we do this for dredge companies as they pump sand onto beaches. And we'll study where the sands, they're taking sand from, where they're putting it on the beach, and we survey all that. Mm. And then we do a geotechnical part where we study the sand they're placing on the beach to make sure it matches the existing environment.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So obviously you went to school for that.
Yes. I got my master's at UNCW here, okay. In geoscience. And my research was in paleoceanography.
Wow.
So deep ocean sediment.
That's
to
cool.
To look at deep ocean currents and their relationship with the climate.
Very awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. I read a book once.
my background is I use really tiny little things to try to determine bigger things, uh-huh. and show evidence of it. And then I always tell my friends, if I wasn't good at sports, my nerd would be exposed. And then quote from TJ, ready?
Yeah.
I was like, if I wasn't good at sports, I kind of hide because I'm good at all this other stuff. And he's like, I don't think you know, but everyone knows you're a nerd. you're not hiding anything.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. Oh, man. Well, I'm sure we've surfed together.
Yes, we have.
I'm sure we've been out there. You're
probably throwing shakas and everything.
Probably. You've probably seen me geek out on my longboard going, oh, that guy's got a long way to go.
I'm always, and if anyone wants to see me out there, I always wear a hat. Because okay. I'm balding, but it makes me feel like Super Mario. Maybe it gives me some extra powers to wear that hat when I'm longboarding.
Any particular color? Is it that hat or
this hat? This is one of my South End Surf Shop hats. I like them. He's got great logos and stuff, so yeah. I usually wear it.
Yeah. But, now you said earlier South End was a sponsor.
Yeah, I'm a team rider there.
Sweet.
I was getting taps on my shoulder from other shops, uh-huh. and. I've always went to the South End,
yeah.
and TJ had worked there when I was
right,
here
right.
in school, and I made friends that through that, and my buddy James McDonough, and that I'm kind of exposing my crew.
Yeah, there you go.
And Randy Seller, that's like our little knit crew there. And then Jeff was always part of that, and Steve was always part of that. So I got a few shops asking me, and I was like, I should talk to Jeff first. And I was like, hey, can I be a sponsor? Like, I'm looking for, like, and he's like, absolutely.
That's awesome.
And he was like, no question. And I was very fortunate, you know?
Yeah, right on. That's awesome.
And then I just started posting a lot more surf photos and things. And then I had this company reach out to, he was a friend that we had been friends with and we surfed with in high school. And I went and visited him in California. He's like, hey, we love your lifestyle. Like, you should be an ambassador too.
Okay.
So that led in at me getting sponsored by EXO.
EXO. EKZO.
Yep.
I see it on your shirt.
Anytime, everywhere. That's what their theme is.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that what it stands for?
Or? Yeah, that's the whole theme of it all.
Okay.
Sweet. And it's really nice gear. It's all natural.
Okay.
Fibers, and so
they're very cool.
Climate forward.
Yeah, well, definitely make sure that when this launches, you send it to your sponsors and let them hear this.
Yeah, so shout out to Jeff and Steve and Pat and Alize.
Yeah, sweet. Sweet. Well, Phil, thank you.
Is it over already?
No, it doesn't have to be. How long we been, Bill? Bill? 36 minutes. I mean, we can go more.
Whatever works for you, man.
I'll tell you what. Let's go down a couple paths here.
I'd like to.
Worst wipeout.
Oh, man. I have one at that place, Rye Rocks, that comes to mind.
Same day?
No, different day.
Okay.
Super packed day. I wipe out on the inside, get washed over the rocks. And I've never had a wave like go over me and then push me straight down.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, wow, it's deeper than I thought. And I'm way down here. And then I felt the other wave go on top of it. It was like a multiple wave set, but smaller, right?
Yeah.
And I pop up and it's like a foot of foam and you get up. And then I just see a set coming.
Oh, boy.
And I see a guy on the set like coming right towards me. And I'm already gassed and I'm covered in rocks, right? And I'm like, holy crap, how am I going to get out of here? I got this leash. And I eventually make it out, but that was the first time I was actually scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stunk. So New Hampshire's no joke when it gets big. And if you do wipe out on those amazing waves, there's a channel. You just got to get to it.
Because
if you're not in it and you're in that impact zone, that was a little sketchy. I'm trying to think if I had any bad wipeouts here in Wrightsville that are comparative to that, but I don't think I have. But I did have one creepy one,
yeah.
And I'm going to give a shout out to Ben Gravy because I surfed El Slamo.
Oh, did you?
And it was on Dredge Project, so we were talking. It was firing, and that's a weird wave. Anybody thinks about surfing El Slamo, it breaks in 4 inches of water.
Oh, okay, because we see it. You know, anybody that follows Ben Gravy on Instagram.
And I had my first shapeboard that I've been shaping with TJ under this Birdie surfboards.
Yes.
And I have my like 5'3 Mini Simmons Space Nugget, I call it. It changes names all the time. And I took it right into the rocks. And I went to stand up because I was like laying flat. I was like, I wonder how deep it is. And I just like stand up to my ankles in water. And I was like, mercy. I have to get out of here. I dodged a bullet.
Oh.
But I could feel the rocks and it was just like, but the Rye Rock one, I like how everything has names in it, the rocks. But that was pretty sketchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've even had like reef rash from Hawaii.
Okay.
And on the Big Island. Because they just have like sharp rocks and reef everywhere there. And it's pretty because you're like, oh, look, a yellow tang is swimming underneath me. And then it's just reef everywhere.
That's nuts. Yeah. It's definitely knowing your limits.
Yes.
But surfing is about pushing it as well.
Yeah. It's that little zone, mm-hmm. you know? Because from an athlete, if anyone's an athlete or like, you don't have to be an athlete to know this. Anyone who has that discipline to pursue something, you always, to improve, you got to make yourself a little uncomfortable every time.
Definitely.
And knowing when you're like, I shouldn't be out here. Like, if you're getting those looks, if you're like looking at yourself, like, you probably shouldn't be out there. But like, push yourself. Like, there you go. Be confident. That little bit of confidence will guide you. Trust yourself. And that's that part of that threshold of when not to trust yourself.
Right. And then when you do take the beating and you come up and you live to talk about it.
Yes. And knowing you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Well, man, Phil, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad that we've got to meet And I'll be looking for you out on TJ and Catherine's Concrete.
Heck yeah.
And then
I got your digits. We'll just shoot text like, oh, it's on.
Yeah.
I see it. Wind switched.
What's your Instagram? If anybody, I mean, you post pictures, are you surfing?
Yeah, or? It's private now, but I'm going to go public with it. It's Phil D Photo.
Phil D Photo.
And it photo with an F.
Phil D Photo with an F. Sweet.
Phil with a PH. Photo with an F.
I love it. Phil, thanks so much. We always end it with this. What's the oldest reference in literature to surfing that you can think of?
In literature?
So historical literature, like going way back. What do you think, what's the oldest you've heard that surfing?
That I've heard that I haven't specifically read the excerpt of, but... I think it would go back to when Cook went to Hawaii and he saw the people riding on boards there.
Okay.
And then I've heard of, like, obviously when Jesus was walking on water.
Right. I've heard the walking on water one too.
But if you wanted to get like historical, I remember watching and hearing about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just saw or heard, and I didn't follow it up, but like records of even back ancient China, people surfing.
I bet.
You know, way back. I mean, people have been crazy for centuries, right?
Right.
There had to be people trying. Hey, I bet you can't ride that.
I bet you Mesopotamians were like on it with all the Sumerian culture had probably already figured it out and lost that culture.
Absolutely. Well, there's a biblical reference in the book of Acts.
Okay.
So the Apostle Paul is traveling to Rome and he's on the ship, lots of people, and storm's really bad. They hit a reef, the ship breaks up, and as the text continues, it says, everyone made it safely to shore. It said some made it in on pieces of the ship. And then it says, and others on boards.
Done.
So that's what I'm thinking. I don't know if Paul was on that, but it's definitely there. It's plausible. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining in on this episode. Y'all take care. We'll see you in the water.
Bye.